Okay, yeah, no, it's a little hard on the voice. Okay. Good morning. Today we're going to start the sugya of Skiras Poilim. And what we're going to be focusing on are the halachos of firing or terminating employees. When can you just fire someone? And when is he allowed, on the flip side, when is he allowed to resign, when is he allowed to quit? And what are the penalties if a person, you know, quits or fires someone when he's not allowed to? Now these issues are probably of the most common chosh and mishpat shailos that arise. And in truth, it's really the first chosh and mishpat sugya that we're learning together. And as we're going to see, there are a lot of different gedarim, a lot of details that you need to know to really arrive at a halacha in any given case. Each part of the sugya is going to be very straightforward and pretty understandable. The challenge is going to be to keep all the pieces in the right perspective and be able to put it all together at the end. But we're going to take it slowly. We'll chazer a few times, and it is, as we'll see, it's a very beautiful sugya, and it should be very gishmak. Now we're going to begin. The simplest case is, what are the party's obligations before they made any kinyan, before the job actually began? There's nothing more than a verbal commitment. You're looking someone, you're making a simcha in a few weeks, you're looking for someone to paint your house, you call someone, and he tells, and you offer him the job, you tell him, I need someone to paint the house, he says, no problem, I'll be there on Monday, I'll do the job for you. That night, you change your mind, you decide, simcha's costing you enough as it is, you have better ways to spend your money, you call up the worker and you tell him, I'm sorry, I'm retracting the offer, I'm not hiring you. Or the flip side, the worker decides that he's too busy, he really can't fit you into his schedule, and calls you back and says, I'm very sorry, but I'm not going to be able to service you, find somebody else. So here the halacha is, the Mishnah tells us that HaSeichas HaUmnin V'Hitu Ba'abayis, Ba'abayis Hitu Oysan, Ein Lehem Zeh Al Zeh Ela Tarumas. You have no financial claim against the person. There's no contract, there's no kinyan, you're not causing anyone a loss, he didn't start the job. It's nothing more than a verbal commitment. So if you back out, we can't stop you. But the other party has the right to have tarumas. What does it mean when they have tarumas? So really it doesn't mean much. Tarumas means that he has the right to be upset at you. He has tainas on you. You did something wrong to him. He has ben adam l'chaveira, you did an avla. He has the right to be upset at you. As far as chiyuvim, as far as bezdin, there's nothing. Excuse me? Can you?
Can you talk to all those people?
Right, and that's in Hilchos Lashon Hara, just to be Moti Shemra is not going to be knocking the mutter so fast. Now, there's the famous Rabbi Sol Salanter that says that vice does from this Gemara that you need a psak din to have tarumus on someone. Just because you're upset at that your neighbor, he didn't invite you to his simcha, you have some imagined slight, you don't have the right to have tarumas. It's only in such a case where you took the job and then you changed your mind, the Mishnah paskins, you have tarumas. But you need a psak din. Otherwise, you know, ben adam l'chaveira, you can't walk around with tainus on someone so fast. So, in this going back, you hire a worker, you retract before he begins the job, you can do it, but you'll have tarumas. Now the Shach explains that the tarumas over here is you offered him the job, you retracted, and now he's got to go ahead and find someone else to find another job. Or the other case, you offered to paint the house, you then backed out, and now the homeowner has to go around, make a bunch of phone calls, and find someone else. Zok the Shach, you only have tarumas if you cause tircha. What happens on the other hand if when the painter backs out, but today many painters are unemployed or underemployed, and it's not a big deal to find another worker. You just open up a phone book, the next person you call will be able to do the job for you. In such a case where you're not causing any tircha, you're not causing them any bother, the halacha of tarumas will not apply. And in that case, it would be mutar l'chadchila to back out. You haven't caused any damage, you haven't caused any loss, and therefore, there's nothing wrong with backing out in such a case. So if the reputation is well deserved and you will not be able to find someone to do the equivalent job, then there would likely be tarumas. Now, everyone here should be jumping up, yelling and screaming about this halacha. Why? Because everyone here spent a few months learning through the sugya of Mechusar Amana. And we learned, and hopefully you remember, that if you tell someone you're going to buy something from him, and then you change your mind, what's the halacha? You're mechusar amana. Ein ruach chacham neicha himenu. So the Sma asks, what's this new halacha of tarumos that you can be upset with him? It should be asur to back out. It's mechusar amana. You gave your word, you said you're going to buy it, you can't back out. So, it's a job. The same way if I tell you I'm going to buy something from you, and I change my mind, that's mechusar amana. If I offer to hire, to buy your services, to hire you, that should have the same halach. What? It's a job that can be done. It's not. It's an employment contract is something which is very much a din mominus. It's not a name by mamish. You hire someone, you make a kinyan, and you're locked into the job. So zok this sma. We learned, and this is probably why no one asked the question. We learned that by trade tari, what happens if you agree to buy something and then the price changes? Now you can get a better deal elsewhere. By trade tari, according to many paiskim, Mechusar Amara didn't apply. My commitment was to pay $1,000 for an item worth $1,000. Now that the market value is $900, I don't have to follow through with my commitment that I can go elsewhere. Zok the Sma, according to those shitas, then he says, it's very good. The case over here is the price went down. You can find cheaper workers elsewhere. Therefore, there won't be mechusar amana according to many rishonim. Nevertheless, when you're dealing with workers, it's more chomer, and tarumis will apply. So if nothing changed, and you back out of an employment contract, you'll have both mechusar amana and tarumis. When the price goes down, so mechusar amana will not apply according to these shitas, still you will have tarumis. So the Aruch HaShulchan says that this concept of tarumos is not only is not just if the price changes. If there is a significant change, now he doesn't need the work done. There also would be a heter, it would only be tarumos, it would not be mechusar amana. But, zok the Aruch HaShulchan, what happens if you were looking for a painter to paint your house, it's a rush job, you're making a bar mitzvah next week, you call this painter, and this painter, no problem, I'll come tomorrow morning and I'll take care of it for you. That night, you're talking to your neighbor, and you're saying, Baruch Hashem, I had such tremendous mazel, I found someone who's able to do it tomorrow. The neighbor says, you call that mazel? Why do you think this painter is available tomorrow morning? He doesn't have any other jobs. Because he's a lousy painter, and no one else uses him. Come over to my house, I'll show you what kind of job he does. He's a terrible worker. Zok the Aruch HaShulchan, in that case, you can back out, that wouldn't even be tarumas. Because in that case, where you find out that he doesn't do his job well, assuming that it's true, there, even tarumos won't apply, you have the right to back out, you don't have to go through with this commitment and hire a worker that does a lousy job, that would be mutar l'chadchila.
Why is that any different
by making a
measure? Let's say you decide you don't need the product anymore.
So based on the Aruch HaShulchan, if there is a drastic change where you find new information, this item that you committed to buy, you know, now find out, you know, you committed to the person who said he's going to buy a Camry, and the next day they find out with his acceleration, nobody wants the car anymore. So now there's new information. That would, according to the Aruch HaShulchan, that would apply to Mechusar Amana as well. He says it on both of them. But it's a Chiddush. Mechusar Amana is easier to get out, according to the Sma. By Trei Tari, that's a heter for Mechusar Amana. It's not a heter for Tarumos. But in such a case, Aruch HaShulchan says, even tarumos you would not have. And therefore, according to the Sma, that's the maskana of the Sma, that even in cases where you would not have mechusar amana, tarumos would still apply. Now this is all assuming there's nothing more than a verbal commitment. There's no contract. He didn't start the job. No one's losing any money. You offered a job, you retracted the job. That's where the halacha of tarumis comes in. The moment he starts the job, the halacha changes drastically. And here we had in the braisa that we learned today that once is b'medvar amurim b'shaloi holchu. This halacha of tarumis is when they did not show up to work, at work. Aval holchu chamarim v'loi matzu tzvua. If the workers show up when they're supposed to, since they've actually come, they started the job, the halacha is, you have no right to back out. What we're going to see is, the same way everyone understands if you buy a car, once you make a kinyan, it's yours. You can't just change your mind. It's yours, you owe the money. And the same thing is true by a lease. If you lease a car, you lease a house. Once you begin the lease, you move into the house, you make a kinyan, there's some sort of hakna. You're locked in. You now own, you lease the car for 3 years. It's yours. You can't just decide that you'd rather have a better car with more horsepower. Once you make a kinyan, you're locked in. So in many ways, schiras pailim is the same. You're renting a worker. And therefore, the moment he begins the job, you have absolutely no right to fire him. And if you do terminate him, you're going to have to pay him his full salary until the end of the job. Okay, good point. What is halach? What is, and even if he starts the job, what kind of kinyan is starting a job? So like this, there are a few points. The first, as far as what kind of kinyan it is, this is not a normal kinyan. Normally, if you want to buy a car, say you do mashicha, you do hagbah. I mean, hagbah in a car obviously is not going to work, but you can do a kinyan soda, you can do mashicha. Kesef, we learned, doesn't really work. It only makes a mishapara. Everything that you want to buy has a kinyan. Karaka has one set of kinyanim, Metalkalin has another set of kinyanim. What kinyan do you do on a worker? Do you lift him up? You do hagbah? What do you do? How you zoich in it? So here, the many Rishonim say, haschalas malacha, beginning a job, is a kinyan by a worker. Since you don't do hagbah, you don't pick him up, that is its kinyan. Some Rishonim say it's just a takana midrabanan. There's a Nachal Yitzchak that says it's a kinyan chazaka. You're being machzik in the worker by having him do your labor for you. They say it's like a chazaka. There are other pshatim in other achrayim, but whatever it is, according to many poskim, it is a form of a kinyan. But now the question is what? How do you define beginning the job? You're right. Showing up to work is not really starting the job. It's preparation for the job. So here we actually had a Shiloh once. There was a younger man in yeshiva who for many years was looking for a shteller. And finally he got offered a sixth position to teach sixth grade the following year. He was very excited. He immediately went home. He started learning Hakoinis and he starts preparing his worksheets and his booklets and the prizes and his charts. It was still Hanukkah time. A few weeks later, the school got back to him and they changed their mind and they didn't want to hire him. Now, as far as the school was concerned, it was a few months before the job was going to begin. They said, it's nothing more than a verbal agreement. So you can have tarumos, you can be upset at us, but we didn't cause you any loss and we have the right to back out. The Rebbe said, nothing doing. I already started the job. I started preparing for my classes. And since it's his chil, just like if I showed up at the job, once I start doing the preparation, you're locked in. You should have no right to fire me. So what's the halacha? So there are a few interesting Maror Mekoyimis that talk about it. There's an Avnei Nezer in Siman Nun Beis in Chodesh or Yisdalet. It says like this. He says, showing up to work is not really working yet. You're just traveling. What's the pshat in the Gemara? So as everyone remembers, what happens if you hire a worker for the day? How long does he have to work according to the Gemara? So halacha was, sunrise to sunset. Unless there's a minhug, you start from the crack of dawn, you work until night. The Gemara said a special kula. Even though really your job is from sunrise to sunset, the Gemara says you don't have to leave your house in the middle of the night and get there by sunrise. You can leave your house in sunrise and that's enough. Zuck the Avnei Nezer. It comes out that really, al pi halacha, when you hire someone for the day, he should be working for you from sunrise. If the halacha is he's allowed to travel, then it means he's traveling on the employer's time. It's part of the job. That's why going is enough. That's why, it's because it's part of the job. But based on that, if you have a 9-to-5 job today, your job starts at 9 o'clock. When your commute is not part of your work time. According to the Avnezer, who come out, Halach today would not be a kinyan. Now the Avnezer is a chiddush. He himself brings rayas at the end that, from Rishonim, that they're not mashm like that. So I think most Paiskim Neman and Halacha not like that. And most Paiskim Neman that traveling is enough. You don't have to actually start the job. Since traveling is something which is necessary for the job, that is enough for this kinyan, and that's enough to lock you in. In a normal case, if you get stuck in traffic, you're not going to get paid for that time. It doesn't mean that you get paid for traveling. What it means is that this is a hachana, this is a preparation that's necessary, and that's enough to make a kinyan on this employment. Once I start doing what I need to do for the job, the parties are locked in. But it doesn't mean the clock already starts ticking and I can send you a bill. There's a Levush Mordechai in Siman Lamed Aleph that has a case where a person was offered a shteller. He rented an apartment in the city and he traveled to his hometown to bring his family back. He says that's also enough. That's a hachano, that's preparation that's needed, and they would not be able to fire him. Now that being said, in the case of the Rebbe, I think it's a Dover Pashut, that although preparation time, or preparations that are necessary, are not considered hasfalas malacha, it's enough to bind you, it has to be the normal preparation that everyone would need to do, which means a week or two, or however much the normal lead time that you have to prepare for class, that hachana would be a haskala. If you were very excited and you had nothing to do anyway, so 6 months before the job you start preparing classes, it's very hard to say that is a kinyan that locks the person in, and they would be able to be chayzer. But in a chanami, 2 weeks before the school year, or whatever, I don't know exactly what the date is, at the point where a person would typically have to make the preparation, they're already in a chanami, there he would be locked in, and he wouldn't be able to back out. Now, this leads us to a very important point. When I start a job, the parties are locked in. And the employer is not allowed to fire me. If he does fire me, he's going to have to pay me my salary. For how long? How long? Now, in a case of the Gemara, you hired someone for the day. So clearly, if you change your mind once he's halach, you pay him until the end of the day. The other case of the Gemara, you hired someone to do a job, to harvest the field, to paint your house, a contractor. So if you fire the contractor, you have to pay him however much you originally agreed to pay him. You're going to have $1,000 to paint the house. If you fire him, you're going to be responsible to pay the $1,000. What happens in a typical case? You hire an employee. You agree you're going to pay him X amount of dollars a year. But there's no end time. You don't say, I'm hiring you for 1 year. I'm hiring you for 2 years. I'm hiring you $50,000 a year, and that's the arrangement. There's no set end time. So the question is, first of all, when is the agreement considered up that you're allowed to fire him? And if you do fire him right away, how long are you responsible for his paycheck for? Okay, so let's say after the trial period. He got over that hump. Now he's your employee, he's not on probation, you know, he's working for you. But you don't make up, you're going to work for me for a year and then I'm firing you, or then it's over. It's just understood, it's just going to go on. So over here, and again, this is a very crucial question, because based on this halacha, you can't just fire a worker. If he's pesheya, if he doesn't do his job, that'll be a different sugya. But assuming he's doing his job and you just decide you don't like him, or you can find a cheaper employee elsewhere, the halacha is you can't fire him. So the question is, when you hire someone without speaking out what the term is, what is the default? So over here, the Igros Moshe Paskins in Chesh Mishpat, Chelak Aleph, Siman Ayin Hei, and Siman Ayin Vav, a tremendous chumrah, he says if you hire someone without making a specific end date, he's hired for life. and there's no way to fire him. This is Japanese-style lifetime employment. And therefore, the Igros Moshe passes halacha l'maisa in a few different shuvas that you can't get rid of a worker. Unless he's pesheya, unless your business is shutting down and now there's just no work to be done, you just don't like the person. Once he's hired, you have to, you're stuck. If what he was hired to do is just no longer around, that's an oinus. And we're going to get, oinus is going to have different halachas. But it's halacha of oinus. If it's... We'll get there. What? Right. So according to Igros Moshe, nothing doing. And the truth is, a few weeks ago, someone called me about an employment shaila, and he was going through about the different shitas. And then at some point it clicked. He had introduced himself at the beginning of the conversation, and from his last name, I realized that, wait a second, this was an anacle of Rav Moshe. So I told him, no, wait a second, you know, I want you to know that what we're talking about until now is fine according to most shitas, but according to Igros Moshe, you're stuck for life. Hitaka told me that there was a story in, I'm not sure if it was Staten Island or in one of the yeshivas, where there was a sichsuk with a Rebbe, and it went to a din Torah. Obviously, they wouldn't go to Rav Moshe because Rav Moshe was in a Gei Abedavar. And after the din Torah, Rav Moshe asked the person who had represented the school what happened. So he said, the Rebbe, we were fighting a Rebbe, and you know, he went, and we ended up with a deal that we ended up paying him 3 years' salary. So Rav Moshe said, you're lucky I wasn't the dayan. If I was the dayan, you would have paid him salary until the day he died. What? So we're going to see, employee is going to have different halachas. It's not going to be symmetrical. An employee, there's a halacha of kili b'nei Yisrael avodim. Employees are generally allowed to, are free to walk whenever they want. We'll get to that later. It's not, the halacha is not equal on both sides. But Baltalin.
Baltalin.
So, would that... No. Igros Moshe is learning that a stam employment is forever. Unless there's an end time. So it doesn't make a difference whether I do it directly or Ayidei Shliach. It's forever. Now, based on this, I would just... Rav Moshe is defining stam. And therefore, unless anyone spoke out otherwise, this would be the default. Now, based on this, if you want to know how far it goes... Because Moshe deals with a case where a person had two employees. He hired one worker. The business got bigger. He hired a second employee. Then over time, you know, business turned. And now he doesn't need two workers anymore. So he has to get rid of one of them. So what do? Who do you fire? Zakhar of Moshe, he has a long tshuva going back and forth. He says, if you look at employment as a kinyan, so if you make a kinyan, that means that first, when you hire one worker, he now has a schus for this job. Now there's more work to be done. That extra work, you hire a second person to do. Now when that extra work disappears, he says maybe the first worker still has the rights to that first work. And therefore he says if you have to fire one person, comes out, you go with seniority. You fire the most recent hire. It just measure goes back and forth, and you know, in Lumdus, it's not really a Kenyan. He goes back and forth. He ends up saying you should make a pshara. Really, what you should do is, if you now only have enough work, you know, for one person, you should offer each of them the opportunity to work half a day each. Split the job. He says you should do it 60-40. The first job person should get 60%. The next person get 40%. He has a whole arichas, but he takes this all the way. That once you have a worker according to Igros Moshe, you have him for life. Now. What? That's true. He's not entitled unless you make up some minog, which there probably isn't. You don't have to give him a raise. Now, although this is a psak of the Igros Moshe, Lamaisa, all the Achroinim, the Chazonish, the Divrei Malkiel, Marsham, Maria Zenzel, and the Shulchan Aruch Harav and Aruch Chaim Sfin Reish Mem Gimel all argue, and they all say that when you hire someone, it's not la'olam, it's not for life. And it's not completely clear what the term is, but what most poskim seem to say is the default is based on what he's paid by. If you pay him, I'm hiring you $1,000 a week, then each week is going to be looked at as a different job. That means if you fire him on Tuesday, you're responsible to pay him until the end of the week. But at the end of the week, you have no obligation to rehire him. The job is over, and no one has any further obligations. If you're paying him by the year, it's X amount per year, then each year is its own block, is its own salary, and if you fire him in the middle, you have to pay him until the end of the year, but not past that. The Chazon Ish says, he points out that obviously if there's a minug, we will follow the minug. He says you probably have to look at how long it typically takes to find a replacement. How long it takes someone to find a job, or how long it takes someone, an employer to replace this employee. That amount of time, it probably is the stoma that probably becomes the minug of how long you're locked in. Now, it'll depend. A CEO of a company, where if he leaves, you have big tzaris, you need a fair amount of time to train in a replacement for him to teach the next person the ropes, they'll be locked in for a longer period. Someone who's flipping hamburgers, which, you know, if he leaves, you just hire the next person, the minimum probably will be not that much notice. You know, I think the minimum today is probably 2 weeks, but again, it is subjective. It depends on the place, depends, and certainly depends on the career as well. So based on this, it'll come out that if you want to know when you can fire a worker, it's basically at the end of the pay period. That's when the employment is up, and that's why you don't have to rehire the person again. But if you fire the person in the middle of the week, in the middle of the pay period, you will be responsible to pay him until the end. Yes, certainly. These are all davar sheba mamon. If you speak out that it's employment at will, and today most employment is legally it's at will, then that's the tanai. That was sabar b'kibol, and it's dinei mamonos. That certainly would be binding. I don't know the details. I will point out that these halachos are very different when you're dealing with a rav. Because there are two differences in halacha. First of all, there's a concept of a srara. When you have a king in Klal Yisrael, the halacha is when you appoint a king, you don't renew his contract every year. A king, a kohen gadol, any srara, any position is given loyul zaray ad olam. You have a position forever. They don't impeach kings or kohenim gadolim. And the same thing applies, according to most places, to a rav. And since it is a position, it's a srara, once he's there, he has it for life, not only for life. When a rav dies, al pi halacha, his son or his child, if he's roi, if he's mamale makoimai, has kedima to keep the job. So therefore, in those cases, when you're dealing with a srara, even forgetting about chayish and mishpat, just as far as the other halachos, it's lo'olam. There's a separate halacha of a chazaka. Anytime a person does a mitzvah and he has a chazaka to do a mitzvah, you cannot take it away from him. And therefore, a rav usually will have a chazaka on whatever mitzvah it is as well. Because of these halachos, besides for the fact that you have to deal with the etzim concept of srara and the etzim concept of chazaka, but that probably changes the term of the job. Because since the halacha is they have a chazaka, or the srara is lo'olam, that means in the Chayish Mishpat, the Schiras Pailim also becomes Lo'ilam. And that's why most Paiskim hold it's somewhere between difficult and impossible to fire a Rav. And that's why when there is a Din Torah, you don't end up just paying him to the end of that pay period. The payout ends up usually being significantly higher.
Is there a talk to us from Yishon, like, first I'm paying you this much a year, you're going to get paid for a week, or that's the
new work and that? You'll have to work it out then. There's not a clear.
I assume that if a prior employee finds new employment, that he doesn't get a windfall.
Okay, excellent. So what we're going to see is that all these halachos are only when he ends up not finding another job. Now, what's interesting, and this we're going to discuss this more by Rikhus in future shiurim, that doesn't mean you've caused him a loss. Which means it could be, if not for your offer, he would have been unemployed. He's been unemployed for 6 months. He gave up trying to find a job. You offer him a job, he starts working for you. At that point, you're locked in, and if you fire him, you're going to have to pay. You didn't really cause a loss, because had you not hired him in the first place, he would be unemployed. But still, since you made the offer, he started the job, there's a kinyan, you now have to pay him until the end of the agreed-upon term. However, if after you fire him, he finds another job, then you can't the worker can't double dip. He can't be taking a salary from you and a salary from the new person. And in that case, the halacha would be is you don't have to pay him since he's getting paid for that time anyway.
Second salary.
you have to make the difference. In other words, if the second job is paying less, you will have to make up the difference, and you will have to make sure he gets paid the full amount for this time. Rav Moshe apparently did not feel that there was such a minhag. I think today all the Achronim argued on that because they said the minhag is not to do it lo'ilam, and that's why the Poskim will say the end of the pay period at most, that's enough. I don't know that Igros Moshe held there was such a minhag, and it may depend on the industry. Today I don't know of anyone who will apply the Igros Moshe's psak today. Oh, that could be. That could be. I mean, in the case of a Rebbe, I don't know. I don't think that the Rebbe generally retire at 65. But for an employee in a Chanami, if there is a period where they're too old to work, and that becomes the normal age in a Chanami. No. Factory. It's a matter of factory. The Rebbe, he has different shuvas about that. But he's talking about someone working in a factory. And he's talking about nothing to do with the fact that it's a sarara, nothing to do with mitzvahs, straight out the fact that there's a schiras poilim. He learns that a stam, if you hire someone stam, again, there's sugyos about make a neder to support someone stam. He deals very much with the sugyos, and he says all employment is assumed l'olam. But again, l'halacha l'maisa, I don't know of any bata din that will apply it, because today there are many poskim that argue, and because the minhag is clearly not like that. It's a good shayla, but Pashtus, he has his claim is only against the second person. Second. It's Pashtus, but it's the. What? That he could fire him. So you mean that? Okay, that I hear. Then it's not really an employment. Right. No, so like this: if he's pesheya, if you hire a person to do a job, and he's going in, he's not doing what you hired him to do. He's, you hire an electrician, he comes in, he's just destroying everything in the house. So there's a separate halacha, it's habach umin shekilkel. Their halacha is you're allowed to fire someone if he's mazik. But there are halachas about it. You can't just on your own decide, you know what, you're not performing the way I want you to, I'm firing you. In a chami, it really depends on the case. Now what will happen is, and this is, we've had such dinei Torah, a person hired a contractor to do a job. He starts the job, and from day one, the customer and the contractor were at each other's throats. Just major personality clash, everything that went on, they're constantly fighting. This went on for a few months, he did half the job, and finally, they had enough. The customer tells him, that's it, I don't want to see you back again. He hired someone else to finish the job. A few months later, the contractor comes back to the homeowner and says, listen, I worked for you, you fired me, I want to get paid. Now here, what's the halacha? It really depends what happened. Because if the contractor did a decent job, and he was performing what he was supposed to, and the homeowner just didn't have the right LP halacha to fire him, then not only was it also to fire him, you now have to pay him the full amount that you promised him. Again, there'll be adjustments of schar batalo that we'll get to, but he's entitled to the contract amount. On the other hand, if the contractor didn't do what he was supposed to, he didn't perform up to industry standard, he was pesheya, it took too long, and al pi halacha you had the right to fire him, then not only did you have the right to fire him, but you can deduct from his pay how much it'll cost you to find someone else to finish the job, which is usually almost the full amount, because it's hard to find someone to finish a halfway completed job. Now, the problem with all these cases is, by the time it comes to a din Torah, the evidence is all gone. Because whatever the first person did is covered over with sheetrock, or the next contractor fixed it up. So it's a very difficult question, and you have to make sure, if you're firing a contractor, or if a contractor is walking off on the job, it's important to document what was done. Was it a peshia? Were things done up to standard or not? And that was a question which will be crucial later on. Yeah, Minchas Yitzchak is he finished the job, he was working for many years, and now it's time, it's time for him to move on. And it's just a question of, does he get paid for the fact that he worked for this amount of years? What we're discussing today is just terminating a person in middle of the employment.
Doesn't the Gemara say in a case where you started a job and you left in the middle that you pay him for what he did in Zmachos and Gemara as far as how you calculate what he did?
Mm-hmm. Right, so that's, again, we're going to see there are differences between a pile and a Kaplan, but that's all, that's, there the discussion is, we're assuming the worker can find another job. Or actually, in that case, in Gemara, the worker quit on his own. So it's not a question of reimbursing, of paying him for the rest of the contract, he walked off the job. It's a question of he did half, but now it's going to cost you more to finish, and there we have a whole machlokes in the Gemara, how to figure out how much it is, how much it isn't. Now, just again, we're going to stop now. But just want to point out that in Schiras Poylem there are many different tanoim and a lot of different parameters. We're very much, you know, we're stopping smack in the middle of the sukkah, and as we're going, a lot of things are going to change in the next shiurim. Don't try to paskin a halacha ma'aseh between now and next Sunday. Don't fire them this week. You know, you can hire them.